even from the beginning. Before there was anything, God already had purposes and plans for your life, didn't He? He had prepared these good works that we might walk in them. So let us grow up into salvation through the Word of God, because you are chosen and precious. You are a holy priesthood to serve Him with spiritual sacrifices.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, folks, it is a day in which we've been honoring fathers, giving thanks for them for all that they have done. But as we just reflected a moment ago, how much more so can we give thanks to the Heavenly Father today? In just a moment here, we're going to be reminded of some things that God has done for us. God the Father has done for us in Jesus Christ. Boy, and if we can't find something to be thankful for in that, I am available for some personal one-on-one counseling then to talk about it. But we are continuing again with our series here on your riches in Christ. All the abundant blessing, grace upon grace, that God has given to you, the believer in Jesus Christ, the great eternal riches that are yours in Him. And we've been approaching this vast topic, taking it in the order of your salvation, the order of your salvation. What are the things that God has done for you in Christ Jesus? Well, I'd like to just review here briefly what God is, some of the things God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And again, if you can't find something to get excited about and be thankful for here, there's something wrong with us. We looked at predestination and election, which is saying what? That before there was anything at all, God already knew you and loved you. God had already knew you and loved you, and He chose you before the foundation of the world that you might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that you would be holy as Jesus Christ is holy, and that you would receive all spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Before there was anything, He already knew you and loved you and determined to bless you in this way. Then we said, in time then, God called you to Himself. He powerfully, effectively called you to Himself. And He made you alive spiritually through the new birth. And then, having been made spiritually alive, God gave you faith, a gift. Even faith is a gift of God. What is that faith? Again, it's trust in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave us a new mind, a new attitude about sin, repentance. That is part of God's gracious working in us as well. Another thing to give thanks for. And then we've looked at justification. That is, through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has declared you righteous. That is, God has said that you are as holy as Jesus Christ Himself. And you will be forever and ever. Isn't that wild just to think about that? That right now, God says you are holy. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, He looks at you and He sees you through the lens of holiness. The holiness of Jesus Christ. And you will be holy forever and ever. And God then, on this Father's Day, the Heavenly Father has adopted you and placed you in His family. And He gave you all the rights and privileges of a child of God. And He made you a co-heir with His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, then, we want to consider the matter of sanctification. What do we mean that? Well, we're saying that God has separated you. He separated you from judgment for sin. He separated you for Himself, for His purposes. And He is working even now in you, even this morning, as you're sitting here this morning, He is working in you to separate you from the power of sin in your life. And He's doing it in the sure hope of total deliverance from sin. That is a blessing, isn't it? That is a blessing. How many of you would like to be further removed from the power of sin in your life? Indeed. So God has done this for you. That doesn't mean he does all the work, though. We'll look at that in a little bit. But God is working in you for this very thing. He's declared you righteous and holy. He's separated you from judgment. He's separated you to himself for his purposes. And he's working now to separate you from sin, from the power of sin, and the sure hope of total deliverance from sin. You know, it's been expressed this way before. I'd like to share it with you again here now. We've talked about justification. We can think of that as being, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? Death, right? And that separation from God, that eternal separation from God, a judgment, the condemnation of God. He has delivered you from that forever by declaring you justified, right, holy in his sight. And now he is working in you to sanctify you, to set you apart, to deliver you from the power of sin, from the power of sin over your life, over mine. And then one day, he will glorify you. He will glorify me. He will glorify all believers in Jesus Christ, which means we will be finally and fully delivered even from the very presence of sin. This is what God is doing for you. Now, usually we have one scripture passage, but today this is just such good stuff. We're going to look at all of these. So you're going to be, let your fingers do the walking through your scriptures here this morning. So we're looking in again at your riches in Christ, taking up this issue of sanctification, how sanctification is God's power at work to transform you, to change you. Through these passages, we'll see that you, the believer in Jesus Christ, you are a member of a chosen race. You've been set apart to God. You've been called to increasing separation from sin in the hope of entire or final or full separation from sin. First scripture passage we're going to look at is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Little context here before we read the passage. Peter is talking about the power of the Word of God. How many of you believe the Word of God is powerful? It sure is, isn't it? But here he says this, chapter 1, verse 22. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord does what? Remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the powerful word of God. Through the word of God, you have been born again. And you have been given a hope of life. Because the word of the Lord will remain forever. Everything else is passing away, but the word of the of God will remain forever. So Peter goes on to say then, this ought to make a difference in how we live. It says chapter 2, verse 1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn babes or infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So Peter is challenging born-again believers in Jesus Christ, saying, you now have been born again, not with something imperishable, not with something perishable, but with something imperishable, the Word of God. Everything else in this world is passing, but the Word of the Lord will remain forever. And so therefore then, long, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, that by it we may do what? Grow into salvation. Grow up into salvation. Have you ever just felt like saying to someone, oh, grow up, right? Maybe some of you have said that to someone before, right? Well, that's what we're told to do. We're told to grow up into our salvation. As we said before, once our salvation, in one sense, is absolute and complete and perfect right now, isn't it? When we receive that by faith, God says, you have been justified. You are holy. You are righteous in his sight. You have the very righteousness of Christ himself. God's gift to you. But I don't know, I take a look at my life, and I don't always see the righteousness of Christ operating in me. I see a lot of me operating in me. Because the reality is that this gift of the perfect expression of righteousness in us yet remains, doesn't it? It's ours now by faith. We have a right standing with God. We are children of God. But now we are called then to grow up into that salvation. And how do we grow up into that salvation? I think there's a key right here for us. Grow up into salvation how? Through what? Through the Word of God. Now, there are other resources God has given us. But this is a primary resource right here, isn't it? Through the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active and powerful, isn't it? That's why I love sometimes just to read Scripture to people. You know, one of the bad habits pastors can get into, and I've seen this on a number of occasions, not that I've ever been personally guilty of it myself, okay? But that's a tendency to engage in extensive extemporaneous speech. You know what I'm saying? No explain. Okay. Get a little long-winded and just impressing everyone with what you know or what you think you know. But you know what I have found is more helpful than trying to tell people what you know? And there's a place for sharing wisdom with folks, right? But I'm not talking about that. Far more important than any words that I or any pastor or any of us have to say is what God has already said about it right here. The Word of God is powerful. Grow up into salvation. Long for it. Isn't that a powerful word picture there? Like a newborn infant longing for milk. That should be our hunger for the Word of God. Grow up into salvation through the Word of God. Why? Because you, the believer in Jesus Christ, His body, the church, you're a chosen and precious people, a holy priesthood. God has called you. God has called you as set apart ones. He has sanctified you by His Word. He has set you apart. He's called you unto Himself. He's called us to be a holy priesthood. Now, in the Old Testament era, a priest did what? A priest would offer up sacrifices. You would go into the temple complex and you would offer up sacrifices there. But we don't offer up animal sacrifices. Anybody here glad we're not offering up animal sacrifices anymore? So he's told, we don't offer up those kinds of sacrifices, but what can we do? We can offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What are these spiritual sacrifices we offer up? It's righteous and holy character and conduct. It's good deeds done in His name for His glory. These are the spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to Him. So let us grow up into salvation through the Word of God, for you are chosen and precious in His sight. You are a holy priesthood. And we grow up into salvation in holy character and in good deeds. As we long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, as we consume that as God works in us through His Word, He transforms us. He transforms our character, our thoughts, our attitudes, our words, and our deeds, what we do. For we know that even from the beginning, before there was anything, God already had purposes and plans for your life, didn't He? He had prepared these good works that we might walk in them. So let us grow up into salvation through the Word of God, because you are chosen and precious. You are a holy priesthood to serve Him with spiritual sacrifices. Grow up into holy character and into good deeds. So is this the message of the Word of God today? And here is it to say, okay, God has done the hard work of saving us. And now it's up to me and you to take it from here and growing up. Like God got us started. He got us started by grace through faith. And now it's up to us to work real hard at it, right? Take it from there. We've got it from here. Well, you know, there's some truth in that. A little bit of truth. But no, it wouldn't be true to say it exactly like that. Like Paul says in Galatians, what, having begun by the Spirit, are we now being perfected? Are we now being made holy and righteous by the flesh, by our efforts in the flesh? No, it's God's power working in us. In fact, he says something very interesting about that very thing in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, if you stop right there, sure sounds like it, right? Okay, God saved us by grace through faith. It's his gift. And now it's up to me and you to work real hard to get more holy. See, right there it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You put that effort forward. And you know what? We are responsible. We are accountable to God for working out our salvation, aren't we? But is it really us who's doing it? Because the reality is what? Verse 13. What? "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So there's what? You and I, we're responsible to obey the word of God. But as we are doing, who is working? Who's doing the heavy lifting in our hearts and our minds? It's God who's working in us. So are we responsible to God for our sanctification, our growth in holiness and righteousness? Absolutely, we are accountable to God for that. But at the same time, God is the one who's working in us. Not just the power, but also what? Even the will to do so. Is anybody here, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that, but you still sometimes struggle with even the will to want to confront sin? But that's God, isn't it? That's God working us to will. To confront sin, to confess sin, to obey the word of God. And as he is willing, who is working in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure, for his good purposes and pleasure. See what? The Holy Spirit goes to work in us. And he produces the fruit of holy character in us. He does the heavy lifting, if you will. You know, there's an old illustration I used many, many years ago. And I hope it's biblically accurate. If it's not, somebody call me on it here after the service, okay? But this whole matter of sanctification and growing in our salvation, working out our salvation. Years ago, when I was first starting school in seminary, I got a job at UPS. Has anybody here ever worked at UPS or done like that? Okay. Well, I got a job there, and my job, I was a primary sorter, which means this. It was this huge, massive warehouse, and these trucks would pull up. And they'd back right up, and the doors would go up, and then people would go in the trucks, and they would start taking all these, and they would just be loaded completely to the gills in the back of these trucks. You know, there wasn't like, you couldn't squeeze a piece of paper in there. These things are, it's packed that tightly in there. And so people would start unloading it, and they'd put them on these belts. And then it would come up onto this massive conveyor belt. And then it was my job, along with a few others, to pick up these packages, find the label, look at the zip code, and figure out one of eight different colored belts that package is supposed to go on, depending on the zip code. And of course, they were always changing the codes, you know. And so, for tonight, 945 through 948 should go on the green belt instead of the blue, you know. And they're always doing that, so it was an adventure. So anyway, I would take these, and then I would have to pick up this package, and there would be 8 different colored belts that I would turn and put that package on. And then that big belt then would take it hundreds of yards way down to the other end where it would go to someone else who would then put it on another belt that would then take it into the truck that it needs to go into for wherever that's going, anywhere in the country. That would be an awful lot of work to go in and unload that truck one package at a time, carry it all the way down to the other end of the building, say, here, it's going in this truck, and put it in there, walk all the way back and do that. That would be an awful lot of hard work to do that. And you know what? I think the process of sanctification, if we think it's all up to us to work real hard, to grit our teeth and to try harder, it's like trying to do that, trying to unload that truck all by yourself and take it to another part of the building. Some of those packages are really heavy. Some sins are really heavy, aren't they? But we didn't have to do that. We had help. We had these powerful belts that did the heavy lifting. Now, that didn't mean I wasn't responsible, that I didn't have a part to play. And it didn't mean that it wasn't hard work sometimes to do that. It was. But what was an impossible task became possible and even routine. And see, I think that through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, He takes the impossible and He does it by His mighty power. He works in us both to will and to work for His good pleasure. But we're responsible too, aren't we? So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear to why? Because God is a holy and righteous God who holds us accountable. But remember, it's God who is working in you to will, to want to do the good and the right and the pleasing to Him. And then the power to make it happen through the Holy Spirit in us, through His Word, through the Spirit. Work out your salvation. That's your responsibility. That's my self. That's my responsibility. But remember, it's God who's working in us both to will and to work for His good pleasure. But if we're going to do this, we need to remain vitally connected to the Lord Jesus. And that's why I want to read this last scripture passage for today. Then it's in I forgot to advance that. There you go. There it is. Work out your salvation. I should have worked out this slide beforehand, Bernard. So work it out with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Our last scripture passage then today is in 1 John chapter 2. Starting verse 28, John says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And abide in Him. To abide. There's one of those wonderful old-fashioned Bible words, right? Abide, Old English words. What does it mean to abide? It means to remain connected to, remain vitally connected to. As the branches abide in the vine, what is they're remaining connected to the life-giving nourishment of the vine. And so, too, we need to remain vitally connected to the life-giving nourishment of the vine, Jesus Christ. Abide in Him. Remain in Him. Continue in Him. And as we do so, as we abide in Him, we may have confidence then, that you might have confidence. Isn't it good to know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are never going to stand before God's judgment for eternal destiny, His judgment for sin, for the purpose of condemnation. You are never going to stand before God for that. But we will face the judgment seat of Christ, won't we? Which is what? It is an evaluation of our lives, of our works, what we've done for Christ. And the purpose is what? Reward. But sadly, some will face loss of reward. They will be saved by the skin of their teeth. That's a slight paraphrase of that passage. But they will be saved by God's grace. But we don't want to be ashamed at His coming, at that judgment. We want to have confidence. Now, you don't have to raise your hands on this one, okay? But if you knew with absolute certainty that Jesus Christ was going to return at 11:20 a.m. this morning... Everybody's looking at their watch now. I saw you looking at your watch was before, so. But if you knew He was going to return at 11:20 a.m., would you be confident about that, or would you be, wait a minute, ooh, I've got some things I've got to get straightened out here. Well, none of us are going to be sinlessly perfect in these bodies in this world, are we? But we can have confidence, though. Would you be confident if you knew that? And you know what? He just might come at 11:20. We don't know. But when we are abiding in Him, we might have confidence then. Confidence that He will say to you, to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Abide in Him, for you are a beloved child of God. Not you will be someday, but we are when? Now. You are a beloved child of God. And here's the verse that just, boy, I just love this verse. Verse 2 of chapter 3 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." We are going to be in actual practice the very righteousness of God Himself in Christ. Isn't that amazing? And that's our hope. So we can abide in Him. As we abide in Him, we might have confidence. We know that we are beloved children of God. And you have the hope of being like Christ. That's your hope. It's a sure and certain fact. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this today? Well, I'd remind us again that you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a member of a chosen race. You've been set apart to God. You've been called to increasing separation from sin in the hope of entire separation from sin. And this isn't your job or mine to grit our teeth and try real hard. We're not to run into the back of that truck and start picking up packages and walking 500 yards down to the end of the building with them. But we are to stand there and pick up the packages and put them on the right belts and let the Spirit do the heavy work from there. So I'll conclude with a simple question. Are you working out your salvation through the power of God in hope of total deliverance from sin? See, that's the picture we need to have there. We are responsible to work out our salvation, to be obedient to the Word of God. But it's the power of God working in us and through us. And we can do so with an attitude of expectancy and hope, knowing that we will be totally delivered, even from the presence of sin. Now that's something to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we have this hope. This hope of being like Jesus Christ. That even now, by faith, we are righteous in Him. But one day we will, in fact, be righteous as He is. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Lord, there's some tired folks here among us. Lord, would you teach us to stop trying so hard and to abide in you? And Lord, there are some of us that, quite frankly, aren't working hard enough. We are neglecting to work out our salvation. And Lord, we don't want to be ashamed at your coming. We're thankful, Lord, that we are, by your grace, a chosen and holy priesthood. That it is your Spirit that is working in us both to will and to work for your good pleasure. That your Word is living and active and powerful. Lord, may we take hold of that hope today. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Grateful, ever grateful, that it is you who is at work in us. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.